This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to The Limits. I'm Jay Williams. And this week, well, actually every waking second of my life, really, I'm thinking about my family. I have a beautiful wife and three kids, including our newborn daughter, Penelope Rain. They're the joys of my life, frankly. But it's tough, you know, balancing multiple careers while raising a family at the same time. But I do have to say this. The expectations that fall on me are nowhere near the expectations that fall on my wife, who is a working mother. I love you, Nikki, and I'm appreciative of everything you do for my family on a day-to-day basis. I know we're not alone in that struggle, though. Other people are going through it as well. So today, I wanted to break down that parenthood struggle with the help of three of my friends that I've had on the show this year. They're all massively successful, not only in their professional lives, but also in their personal ones. And by the way, this is bonus content from the conversations you've already heard from them. To start off, we've got my man, Bobby Hundreds, co-founder of one of the biggest streetwear brands today, The Hundreds. Bobby, tell me about your real community. I mean, both communities are your real community, but I talk about your family support system, your husband and a father now. Tell me about your relationships with your kids and with your significant other.
I don't think I would be anywhere near to where I'm at in my life without their support. When people ask me how I do it, and when they say that, they're usually talking about I'm just doing so much, right? We're all very busy, but you know, I just do a better job of publicizing how busy I am. and so
Marketing 101.
And so when people ask, man, how do you do it all? And how do you stay on top of it? And that worked for you. And how did you, how? And I'm like, because I have a good support system. That's it. I wouldn't be able to do this. You know, like, do you know how much my wife sacrifices on my behalf? How much my kids sacrifice? My kids are like the most forgiving people when I'm like, oh, I missed your thing, dude. I'm sorry. Or I'm running late. I'm coming. And it's like, okay, like, we get it. We know how important work is to you. And it really matters who you surround yourselves with, the people that you tie yourselves in relationships with. It really does matter. You want to be with people who support you, who believe in you, who want you to win, and are going to be forgiving and are going to be encouraging.
See, one of the things I struggle with, Bobby, sometimes is how to draw boundaries, because I don't look at what I do, even this media platform we have here with you on NPR. This is not work for me. This is my passion.
Yeah.
I have three pages of notes I just have from you because I want to make those things applicable in my life so I can continue to reach my goals. But I become so passionate that sometimes I need to remember, hey, my real passion needs to be my family, right? And so have you had any moments like that in your life? And then if you have, how have you gone about that?
Yeah, I need to be reminded of it constantly. And you know what was actually really awakening for me was the pandemic, right? Because I have spent so many years collecting people. Right. You gamify your Instagram score, how many followers you have, how big your audience is, how many customers you have, and traveling the world and, you know, speaking on stages and trying to just get more and more fans. Right. It's like more. I'm insatiable. I want more and more. And the pandemic turned everything off. All my flights stopped. All my travel ended. I was about to be gone for 3 to 4 months on a book tour. In the summer of 2020, I was supposed to go to Indonesia, to Russia, to Brazil, and I was going to be gone a lot. And so I'm stuck at home. You know, I've traveled for most of my career. You know, I'm usually gone 2 or 3 times a month. And I'm just sitting down and having dinner with the family, which we never used to do. And now that I'm home more, I'm like, hey, we're eating dinner with the fam. And I'm just talking to my children in front of me, my wife, and just having a great time and getting to know them. And I'm like, man, I have spent so many years collecting all these people. And meanwhile, there are oceans, oceans of humans just sitting in front of me, right? Just unexplored, right? I could spend probably every day for the rest of my life talking to my 9-year-old son, and I don't think I'd ever get bored. I would learn more. Like, this man is a Grand Canyon, and he's only 9, right? So, yeah. Like, that was so cool to me because I was like, wow, people are just these voluminous stories and their books, each and every one of them. You don't need 100,000 followers or 1 million followers. You don't need billions of customers. You don't need that. You really have everything you need in the people in front of you now. You just need to ask and you need to listen.
Wow. I really appreciate you giving us your time, Bobby. Oceans of people in front of you. That's still one of the most epic lines I've ever heard on any pod possible. And it's definitely changed the way I think about my own kids. Next up, the one and only Gabrielle Union. Gab taught me so much about balance in so many aspects of life when we spoke. But what stuck with me is how she described the resilience of being a working mom, being her own self while giving so much of herself to her family.
You have to release the guilt of not being Superwoman. You have to embrace that we are human beings and we deserve help. We deserve breaks. We deserve grace. It is okay if your kid's hair isn't combed or their outfit doesn't match or their, you know, underwear is on backwards or they left the house with 2 left shoes. It's okay. It's okay to not have it. And once you kind of are firm in that, you become a lot more comfortable creating more clear boundaries. No, I can't bring gluten-free, nut-free, dairy-free freaking treats because I'm busy. I'm sorry. You're about to get some store-bought whatever the hell is in these ingredients is what these kids are about to eat. I am sorry. No, I can't, you know, do carpool every day. Or no, I can't, you know, I need help, you know. Or maybe my kid's math is beyond my level of comprehension. Don't feel bad about it. You know what I mean? It's okay if you need to hire a tutor or make sure that your kids stay later in school to get help. It is no reflection on your heart and your intentions and your parenting. We all need help. And none of our journeys of motherhood need to match. You do what you need to do for your family's survival, however that looks. And it's okay. And don't let any of these other busybody people tell you otherwise.
I thought you were going to say something different than busybody, but I'm glad you said busybody.
You know, I was trying to bring it back.
Gab, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I wish you nothing but love and continued success. And I hope we bump into each other again. And please tell Dwayne I appreciate him too and I said hello.
I will. And I have to say, I am so glad to hear that you are married and you have your family and you found peace. That makes me really, really, really happy.
Okay, I hope you were taking notes because those are some gems on how to balance work and family life. But what about when those worlds mix? When you need your family to help you take that next step, personally and professionally, when they're the only ones you can count on. After the break, I talk with Larry Miller, head of Jordan Brand, about how his daughter cracked open his next phase of life.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Instead of scrolling mindlessly, engage mindfully with the NPR app. With a mix of on-demand news, stories from this station, and your favorite podcast, you can relax without shutting off your brain. Download the NPR app today.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you guys something. Larry Miller has achieved a lot. He's the right-hand man to the greatest basketball player in the world, LeBron James. Okay, fine, debate me. Michael Jordan, fine, potato, potato. But his success comes with the shadow of a dark past. When he was 16 years old, Larry Miller shot and killed Edward White. He was locked up for 14 years, and for a lot of people, that's the end of the story. But Larry worked hard in the sports industry, and years later, he wrote a book about that fateful night with the help of his daughter.
The book that you wrote, Jump, My Secret Journey from the Streets to the Boardroom, you talk a lot about, it was a phenomenal book, by the way, too, Larry. I appreciate your vulnerability, and I can't imagine living with this for as long as you've lived with it. Tell me about the relationship that you have with your daughter, because she was imperative in helping you write this, and how that experience maybe has changed the dynamic of your relationship.
It was rewarding, challenging. You know, she started working on me 12, 13 years ago. Like, Dad, you have a story that can inspire some people. You need to share that story. And she kind of worked on me until I agreed to do it. With her, I felt kind of comfortable sharing these things with her because I figured, hey, you know, she's going to love me either way, right? But there were a number of times where we would get to a point where she would generally was her, but one of us would be like, you know what? I need a break. Cause this is like something I need to digest or something I need to think about here. And, I, you know, found out some things that she had been holding in and that had been bothering her. And I think, you know, she found out a lot about me that she had no clue about. And so it was freeing for me because, being able to get this out, because, you know, for 40 plus years, I kind of hid this from the world, and hiding it caused me to have nightmares and migraines. And it was all because I was just holding this in and afraid and nervous and anxious about the fact that it could potentially come out. And so being able to get it out with her, it really helped our relationship because she knows now, you know, who I am and, you know, what I've done and the things that I've gone through, but been able to overcome.
So was the book the first time that your daughter found out about what happened on that night in October of 1965?
I mean, she knew I had gone to jail. I don't think she didn't know the details. She didn't know what it was for. So that was when she first heard the details. And I'm sure, you know, for her, it was pretty shocking because, you know, she has a son, and for me, you know, I'm sure that resonated with her. And that was one of the points where we had to take a break and just kind of regroup and work through it. And, you know, it was tough.
Were there any moments of hesitation about being fully transparent with her? I mean, this is your daughter. When I was writing my book, there were a lot of thoughts that, yes, I was being honest, but how would this affect people that I was being honest about? And a lot of times it was even cathartic for me because I had never talked myself through a lot of the scenarios, yet alone I can't imagine having my daughter kind of go through the interview process and me talking myself through those emotions with her paying attention, understanding that this is her father who's gone through a lot of life-changing events.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that she's said to me is that, you know, she had no idea that I was going through all the nightmares and the headaches and all that because I didn't share that with anybody. I didn't share that with her. I didn't share it with anybody. And I think, you know, she was learning some things about me. I was opening up to her about things that I hadn't opened up to pretty much anybody about. It was challenging. There were a lot of tough times where I thought, you know, should I really share this or not? But my feeling was once I decided to do this and to kind of share my story, like for me, it was like, okay, let's just put it out there, because if I'm going to do it, I'm not going to halfway tell it or tell part of the story, or, you know, if I'm going to tell it, I'm going to tell it. And again, I think connecting with her and doing it with her was great. I think that was the best case scenario for me, because like I said, it made me comfortable enough to talk about and open up about things that I had held in and hadn't talked to anyone about ever.
I'd like to give a big thank you to Larry Miller, Gabrielle Union, and Bobby Hundreds for joining me on the show to get real about work and, more importantly, family. They make it look easy, but trust me, it's not. We're back next week with another episode of The Limits. Remember, stay positive and let's keep it moving. The Limits is produced by Devin Schwartz, Mano Sundaresan, Max Friedman, and Lena Sunskeri. Video production by Kaz Fantoni, Langston Sessoms, Christina Shaman, Iman Young, and Nick Michael. Our executive producers are Karen Kinney, Marilyn Williams, and Yolanda Sangueni. Our senior VP of programming and audience development is Anya Grumman. Music by Ramteen Arablouei. Special thanks to Christina Hardy, Rudy Correa, and Charlotte Riggi.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.